Okay, Mary D. just taught us how to evaluate and recommend Web 2.0 tools. And now we're going to hear a little bit about how to get staff excited about these things and using them. So again, very nice segue. We'll learn about going beyond 23 things from Lori Reed first, and then we'll get a bit more under the table, kind of a trick-or-treat theme with Bobby and Aaron, and they'll teach us how to sneak this stuff into our staff's workflows and lives. So let's give them a round of applause and finish up the day.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay in the back? Okay. So I'm from the Public Library of Charlotte in Mecklenburg County, where you may have heard of a program called 23 Things that we did a few years ago. And so what I've been looking at since then is how that kind of got popular and took the library world by storm, and then what we can do now to leverage that and kind of move beyond that. Not that we need to move beyond that, but once you've done it, what's next? Because I think that was something that we didn't think about up front, and it's something that's challenged us, is once it was over, what do we do with that excitement among our staff? So that's what I'm going to talk about. Is there anybody who hasn't heard of the program? Maybe I shouldn't ask that. Okay, so there's a few people. Thank you for raising your hands so that I don't make assumptions. 23 Things, here's the website so you can check it out. It's a program to introduce your staff into Web 2.0 tools by actually using those tools. So I'm not going to say a whole lot more specifically about that. Just check out the website. It's a great program, and it's been duplicated worldwide. It's Creative Commons licensed, so you're free to replicate it however you want. And many libraries, some of you here have probably done that. This was a little tag cloud that I did of some of the buzzwords that we were using in the program. It's all about staff, technologies, discovering, exploring. But really, it boiled down to two things. The first one is connection and collaboration. That was key, that people were connecting with each other to experience these online tools. We even face-to-face in the branches, if somebody didn't know how to do something, someone else would step in and help them. So it was creating that connection, a community of learners. But the second key thing that many of you may have experienced is the prizes. And if I don't know how many of you tried to do this program without prizes, but the difference in success was a little bit different. And we found that out when we tried to do Learning 2.1 afterwards without prizes. The participation was much less without the prizes. Now, how this ties in is with our current economy, a lot of libraries don't have the money to buy the prizes. Or I found out that there's some libraries where the government, the local government, won't let them give out prizes because it's like having duplicate income. So there's lots of different challenges there with that. And so what I'm focusing on, me personally, is how do we move beyond giving out prizes for learning? When is learning going to be a reward in itself? So that's kind of where I'm thinking these days. And so where do we go next on this map of learning, Web 2.0, just this journey that we're on? Well, first of all, we want to start with a goal in mind. And that was what we did with the 23 Things program, is we had a goal that we wanted to introduce a lot of staff into this new technology in a short amount of time. And these were people who a year before this program didn't know how to clean a mouse. So our goal was very different 3 years ago. Right now, we're not doing a program like this because our staff have gotten so comfortable with technology that they're out on Twitter, Facebook, friend feed, trying it out, and we don't have to push it down their throats. They're out exploring and trying. So our goal is a little bit different of what we're doing with learning, and your goal may be different. So that's something that you need to look about before you implement any of these tools, is what is the outcome that you want? If you don't have an outcome, then how are you going to know which tool to use, because you don't know what your message is? So if you have done a Learning 2.0 23 Things program, here's what we did next was Learning 2.1, and here's the the URL for that, Explore, Discover, Play. And what that did was we would get guest bloggers to come in and just talk about different 2.0 tools and have activities. We still have staff following along with this, but as you can see, the last update was January 14th. So it's just kind of lost. For us, this tool has lost its steam. Something that I've been really impressed with recently is people using Twitter for learning. There's a group of trainers from all over the world, not necessarily library trainers, but just trainers, who have something called Learn Chat on Thursday nights. Here's the website and the hashtag if you want to check that out. And they have a topic each week that they post up on their blog, and then they chat about it in Twitter, and it's really fascinating to follow what they're doing. So I'm kind of looking at this and seeing how could we leverage this within our staff to learn and use Twitter for learning. The other thing that I've recently started using is Facebook, especially to communicate with the millennials, Gen Y. And you probably can't read it, but on the bottom where I've highlighted in green, I have telecommuting for the rest of the week, email or find me in chat if you need anything, because I know that that's how our younger generation of workers and learners wants to communicate. And so I leave Facebook open all day, and they're free to contact me. I friend everybody in my library who's on Facebook, and it's a way for them to find me and get a hold of me if they have questions about training, they need directions, or anything like that. And this is one way that we've kept people engaged with the Web 2.0 tools without having to force them to do it. We allow them to use Facebook while they're at work. So I do presentations on how to build a marketing plan with Web 2.0, and there's 8 steps that I identified for that. But you can actually change that. Bad PowerPoint slide here, that should have been stretched out. But you can actually use those same steps for building a learning plan. And so you're going to identify your need, do your research, identify your audience, what are your outcomes, create your message, and then find the right platform and tools, which is what we're going to talk about a little bit more. Then you develop your plan and then evaluate. These are the key things before you implement these tools within your library. And if you have any questions, you can always contact me. Here's my information. And I think Bobby is up next. Thank you.
I'm Bobby Newman, and I'm going to talk about something a little bit different than Lori. The idea that you've already decided that social web tools are important to connect with your patrons, and you're instead having a problem getting your staff to use them, even if they have done 23 things. And I'm hoping that everyone here is here to learn how to get your staff to use them, and not that you're the person who doesn't want to use them, and you're here to find out how I'm going to trick you into it so you're prepared. Because I'm going to get a little sneaky. I'm going to talk in generalities, but Aaron is going to give some specifics. What you usually find when you start wanting to use Web 2.0 tools to connect with your patrons is that staff pretty divided into two pretty firm groups, the ones who are on board with it and the ones who aren't. And the ones who aren't are pretty emphatic that they're not doing it. And they've got a whole lot of reasons why they don't. And the minute you say Twitter or blog, they stop listening to you. So what you need to do is shift your approach. They've already established a Pavlovian response to the word 2.0, blog, Twitter, Facebook, and they do not want to hear it. And they stop listening to you once you've said those words. So what I want you to do is stop saying those words. You can get them to use these tools without saying that you're going to blog or you're going to do Twitter. What you need to do is stop talking about the end result and talk about your patrons, because the reason we're doing this, the reason we do all of the things we do, is to provide better service to our patrons. And if you do what Lori said and correctly evaluate your tools for the service you're trying to provide, the tool you're using shouldn't be the issue. So you need to focus away from the tool in 2.0 or Twitter or blogs and put the focus back on where it needs to be, which is on our patrons. And you're going to do that sort of, you're going to have to figure out how to do it for your people, but it's a little bit, take a page from David Copperfield, the magician, and you're going to do some misdirection. While they're looking over there about patron services, you're going to start using Twitter over here. So what you want to do is just change your approach, talk about it differently. Once you can get staff doing it, make it easy. Don't pick a tool for them to use that's complicated, where they have to learn any HTML or complicated. You can set up Twitter and blogs and all of these tools so that they're really easy for them to use. Take the time to make it easy for them, and it will make your life easier in the long run. And take the staff member who is into Facebook, and let them do it. Don't try to make the person who doesn't want a Facebook page, who feels like it's a violation of their privacy, who has all these concerns, don't force that person to use a tool that they're not comfortable with. They may come around when you can show them some really great examples, but go the easy route. Reward them, and this is gummy bears, and I don't necessarily recommend candy, although I like it. You want to reward the people that are doing what you've asked them to do. Everybody likes to feel that they're appreciated, that what they've done matters, that they took the time to learn this new tool that they were maybe iffy about. They went out of their way, and I know you might feel that that's their job and they should just do it. If you want to get everybody on board, give them a little reward, whether that's acknowledgement somewhere, if it's a little treat, however you do things at your library. I'm a big fan of giving out extra little things, and I have a whole box of monkeys that came from the Oriental Trading Company, different monkey things that I give out when people are doing things. So whatever works for your staff, for your library, reward the people who are doing the things that you're asking them to. Make them feel good about themselves. What you're going to start to see, if you can use these tools, is patron interaction with them. And you're going to get comments back from patrons that say, you know, this was great, this was helpful. Share those with the staff that are doing that. I know sometimes we just like to save those for our board reports and things like that. But if you have someone who's in charge of something and you hear good feedback, be sure to let them know. Tell them, great job. You're doing a wonderful job. The patrons love it. And remember that especially with some of these 2.0 tools, like blogs or even Twitter, that looking at your replies is not the way to necessarily measure your success. So if you're not getting replies, but you've got stats that show, hey, this many people clicked on Twitter links that we sent out this week, share those with them. They know that they're reaching those patrons now. If you've got stats to your blog, which the person writing it may not see because they're not tech savvy, and you've blocked that so they don't get confused when they go in there, let them know those stats. Show them the people they're connecting with. Give them numbers. So that's it. Aaron's going to talk about some specific examples, but good luck.
Yes, I tend to position myself as the fix-it gal. Ooh, that looks dire. Cancel? Yay! Okay, here we go. Perfect. So what I try to do is I try to position myself as, oh, what, we have a problem? Hey, why don't we try this and just see if it works? And by that point in time, if you have a problem or you have a challenge at your library, usually people will give it a try. So first thing I gave a try was Delicious. And if none of you have used Delicious before, that's an online bookmarking tool, and it has a great little widget. You can just cut and paste the code into any website, and bam, your links are automatically generated again on that website. And what happened was, our staff, they got very angry. They were very upset. We had this gorgeous new website redesign, but all of a sudden, because they had purposefully redesigned it not to be a link dump, they would keep sending links to our web content team and saying, oh, but wouldn't it be great if we had PBS Kids? And oh, wouldn't it be great if you added this link? And I said, well, what if you could add links? And they appeared on the website right away. So we empowered the entire staff, we gave them one Delicious account with one username, one password, and we said, here, it's going to go on one of our web pages. We decided to put it on our Teacher's Lounge page because most of our educators and parents and people end up looking there. And so we had the widget, and they were able to add links, and it was really great for 3 months. And then Delicious redesigned their website, and people got really upset. It changed its look and feel. We got quite a few links in there before that happened, but there was, I think, another reason I would attribute for the drop-off. Here is how I would quantify our success. It was super awesome for a while, and then it went, because we only had one account, people didn't have a way to get credit for what they were putting in there. I did not think of a way to invent, like, oh, put your initials beside it, you know, in the descriptor. I should have done that in retrospect. So that was one that we had some limited success with. And then I went on to get in trouble, as I usually do. Any of you get in trouble at work? Oh, come on. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, great. Risk takers, all of you. We have 13 libraries, and in 4 libraries, I had homework coaches who were frantically faxing me garbled sorts of stats about our homework help program, and consequently, we were never on time with any of our stats. And so I said, hey, wouldn't it be great if you could get stats on a daily basis? And our statistician said, I don't believe you can do it. And I said, I've got a tool for that. And so I made a Google form, and it's worked really well. Our coaches at all those 4 different locations, they use it at the end of every workday, and they tally up their numbers. And hopefully you can't read any of the individual names, but you get the idea. All the stats are there, and the magic is that our statistician can go in and simply cut and paste all of the data right into the big, you know, entire library spreadsheet. They can do it every single day. I have never been late since. It's been a miracle. And they've recently been asking about it for our volunteer program. We have, oh gosh, thousands of volunteers at all of our different libraries, and they're all turning in paper forms, and we're wasting a lot of time trying to put that together. So I'm really hoping that we ramp that up. So I would say the success for Google Forms has been steadily good. At least I haven't gotten in trouble in a while. Wikis. We had a leadership program that I was selected to be a part of. We had 3 different ways. They were very excited. Oh, you guys are going to collaborate, and it's going to be wonderful. And I was, of course, the one in the back raising my hand saying, how are we going to collaborate? They said, well, you can email each other, and you can use our intranet, and we have a shared drive, you know, on the server. You can put documents all of those places. And what do we say to that? Boo, right? 3 different places? Not okay. Not okay. So I said, if I set up a wiki, would you guys at least try it? Well, maybe. Even though we already had a media wiki installation, you know, the kind of software that they use for Wikipedia, even though we already had that on our servers, I went ahead and I signed us up for a WetPaint account. It's free. You can see that it does have ads, not the most attractive thing in the world. But the important thing was that people could sign in with their Facebook accounts, which a lot of people already had. It was very low threshold. It's a WYSIWYG. It's what you see is what you get. When you click on that easy edit button, it really is easy because everything, all the little icons look like what you get in Word. There was no learning curve. People were very happy. And I seeded it. I just copied and pasted a lot of the documents that we already had into the wiki, and it went pretty well. It even went so well that we were able to ask other people not in the program that had never taken my little wiki class, like how to use WetPaint. They were able to sign up to volunteer for our texting program. Easy peasy. It was great. So I would say that the success was up and up. So I was very encouraged by that tool. That was one way to get people to use wikis, and it didn't seem wiki. It was a little bit more friendly. They didn't have to learn any HTML. There was a very low learning curve. And this is my favorite one. Okay. How many of you guys get emails on a regular basis? First of all, how many of you get like 80 bazillion emails a week? Right? And lots of them are random, like, hey, I read this great book and I just wanted to share with everybody. Or I found this great website and I just wanted to share with everybody. Well, we were getting so many of those random, hey, have you read this yet? Or hey, has anybody seen the reviews for this? That I said, what if I just took our youth services listserv and just signed it up for a dummy account at Goodreads? And I did that very thing. I took our listserv that we're all subscribed to at work and I made a dummy account. And we don't have any books in there. We don't have anything that we put in there. We just friend people. And so people that already have Goodreads accounts friend us. And what happened was a very exceptional thing. We have 12 friends at the moment. We have a separate adult account that they ended up created that has another 30 staff members in it. And so once a week, we turn off all the notifications except for the once a week update email on what your friends are reading, what they've added to their account, what they're interested in reading, and the reviews that they've written. And so what happens is Once a week, there is one tidy email that they can, if they want to trash it, they can. But if they want to read through it, they can also do that. And I knew that it was successful the day that I had a staff member stop me in the hallway who said, I'm never going to social network. I don't want to do any of these reading sites. I don't have time for that. She stopped me in the hallway and she said, hey, I saw in that email that you were reading that new Michael Chabon book. How is it? Did you like it? I couldn't tell from your review. And I learned, well, A, I should be writing some better reviews, and B, that people were paying attention. And it was a great way for us to share different things. And it's really encouraged us to actually start writing reviews instead of just saying, oh, this book was awesome, you should read it in a one-line email. So it's really, it saved our inboxes, and it's also created more of a reading culture in which we are sharing more of what we're doing. Because when you have staff that are either time separated or physically separated, like in different branches, if you're working different shifts, this is a way to bring people together. And we've had a lot of people sign up for Goodreads accounts, and whether they like it or know it, they are social networking. They're doing it all over the place. So I would say that the success is growing and stands to grow even more. I think we're going to coerce even more people into joining us, which is very exciting. Oh, and here's my information. Sorry, Bobby. I put my info on there. So I think we're ready for the Q&A portion. So thank you guys for listening, and Q&A us.
Are there any questions? No one has a question? Yes.
When you were finished with your presentation, there was a website for you. What was that?
LibrarianByDay.net.
Okay.
Yes. If you do a search for Librarian by Day, I am that person. You'll find me everywhere. And I have some business cards if you'd like some. Yes. So the question is that how do you, she's at a university and she feels like the people she would like to use Twitter to post updates would feel that it's beneath them?
Yeah,
they're highbrow. So is it librarians or staff, faculty? Are they librarians or faculty? Okay, so you think the patrons would not respond to Twitter? Well, one of the things that you can do with Twitter, and I think there's two ladies over there that you can talk to later. They gave a presentation on Twitter earlier. But one of the things that you can do with Twitter is take that feed, that RSS feed that your Twitter account produces, and embed it in another website. And so you can have your Twitter updates showing up on a page somewhere without them ever seeing necessarily that it's coming from Twitter. You don't have to announce that that's where that feed is coming from. They showed an example from McMaster in Canada where they have these very large screens in their library, and their Twitter updates are actually scrolling across the bottom of the page. So you can take the RSS feed and do all kinds of things with it. Any other questions? Yes. That's all right. Okay. Okay. I have a couple other questions too, though. Yes, I can do that. The question was, will I take that statement? You can take that RSS feed and do just about anything with it and write something on my website so that those of you who aren't familiar with that will know what I'm talking about. You're welcome. Yeah, and I will, but maybe not for a week. Do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I was going to say, just jumping in here. If you go to my blog, there's a link to my personal wiki. My blog is schooling.us, blogspot.actual.com. And I have a RSS for beginners, little explanation. So it's already out there. It's there for you. I anticipated that.
All right.
What was our other question? We had another question?
Yes. It changed format. The question is, so what do you do if you want to use Delicious and you want to encourage people to post links and they, poof, magically appear on your website, how do you not lose control? Well, my answer to that, and you ladies may differ, is that we're professionals and we should have trust in one another and we should be using our best professional judgment and, operate from a standpoint of, We're not scared that, people are going to do bad, wrong things, but we are empowering you to do the right things and to use your professional skills to select websites that, will appeal and have value to patrons. Would you guys agree or no?
Feel free. I just have a more flippant answer. Why do you want it? My professional advice is to let go. What Aaron said, they're professionals. Let them do their job. I said it to my director last week. I said, my professional opinion is you need to let go of this control.
That's Helene Blowers.
Helen
Blowers.
Yeah, I've been following Sacramento online, and I just want to say that was created by Helen Blowers, who used to be with us. Today is her birthday, so if you're on Twitter, it's at H Blowers, so wish her a happy birthday. Any other questions? Yes. There's a session on that. Is it? Yeah.
It is. Actually, I'll be speaking about that the very last session on Wednesday. It's 23 Things for Your Community, I think is what it's called. There'll be several of us there. Yes, ma'am. I think we all are. Oh, the question was, are any of us doing what she would call proactive reference? So searching for mentions of our library name online or Twitter, like you can search within so many miles of your zip code. And Lori has a great story about that. I'm going to let her tell. But I want to say I just left a library in Jefferson City, Missouri, and you would not believe how many people tweet about Jefferson Starship, we built this city.
Yeah, I monitor Twitter throughout the day on TweetDeck, and I search for variations of my library name, Charlotte Library. And, I find a lot of great stuff, and what usually happens is other customers answer the tweet before I or anybody else can. But I do sometimes find complaints, and we're able to resolve it very quickly before it could escalate. And one example was we had a reporter who was picking up holds for someone else, and someone mentioned about the fines on the card, which you're not allowed to give out. They didn't realize it wasn't the same person. So she tweeted about how upset she was that this person's privacy had been violated. And I forwarded that to our assistant director, and we quickly were able to talk to her before she had a chance to blog about it, because she's a really prolific blogger, reporter, and that could have been really bad for us. And so we were able to address that. And now her and I have made a really good connection. And so she'll come directly to me now instead of, complaining publicly if she has an issue. That's our policy. If you have the card, you can pick up the hold, or even if you don't, you can pick them up and check them out on a family member's hold, unless you have a specific block on the card that says no one else can, in which case they're held behind the desk instead of allowing other, instead of out in the public where patrons pick them up. Yes. Right, and that's how the 23 Things program started. Is we were doing that on a monthly basis. We would have these sessions, but we realized we quickly needed to reach more people. And so I'm gonna let. Did you want to address that? Okay.
It was I was a person talking, and what she said was that they're allowing staff to interact and sort of teach each other old and new things, and they're putting equal value on all those skills. And what I found, they brought me in to be the digital branch manager at the Chattahoochee Valley Libraries in Georgia, where I'm at now, and we're an 8-branch system, and they sort of put me up here in the office on the third floor and told everybody, all right, now we're going to have a digital branch. And what I find, that's scary. It's really scary. And what if I can get into staff meetings, and I patrol the halls and, like, sneak into them. If I can and just say to them, we're not going to do anything without giving you training. I will not push you off a cliff. I promise. And we're not going to do anything that doesn't serve our patrons. And we're not going to do anything that we can't do right. I will not put a half-hearted effort into it. And you should see the relief on people's faces. So I think if you can have a conversation that it says, oh, hey, we're doing Twitter, and then everybody thinks you're going to expect them to go out and get an account and start tweeting. If you can talk about that, that makes a big difference. Conversation helps. That's it. All right. I think that was the last one. Go to the exhibit hall.